Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
In the last month alone, America has experienced everything from a once-in-100-years eclipse to raging western wildfires to two catastrophic hurricanes, the full impact of which we don't yet fully know. So the question must be asked, is God trying to get our attention? And if he is, then what is to be our response? And friends, with that, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Dave Kistler, and I'm going to be your host today, along with our entire team made up of Dr. Gary Dahl and Sam Rohr. And today we're going to be discussing this general theme, God will be glorified in the tragedies and in the triumphs. In segment one and two, we're going to have two very special guests who can speak with great specificity of God's awesome power and how he is indeed being glorified in both the arena of tragedy and triumph. So I want to get right to it. I want to welcome to the program a recurring guest, one that has literally lived through this past weekend's historic hurricane event in the state of Florida. And that is retired Marine Gunnery Sergeant, Adjunct College Professor, and South Florida Law Enforcement Officer, Ed Stevens. Ed, thank you so much for being with us. Welcome to the program today.
I'm glad to be here. Nice to talk to you.
Well, Ed, the eyes of America were riveted for days on Hurricane Irma as she inched her way across the southern Atlantic toward the southern tip of your state. Historic evacuations were ordered and historic preparations were made for this unprecedented weather event. Ed, I know you had to work this potentially catastrophic event. Can you talk a little bit, if you would, about the preparation stage for Irma's arrival? I know it was unlike anything that Florida has had to compete with or had to do in a long time because of the nature of the storm. So if you could talk a little bit about the preparations.
It seemed to me, Dave, that people were taking it a lot more seriously. The storm was moving west and west-northwest at a pretty slow rate, so it gave us quite a bit of lead time to make all the preparations, as you saw in the news, a lot of evacuations. I'm of the impression that there was an unprecedented number of people that evacuated out of the area, and that certainly helps from a first responder standpoint. But myself, the days leading up to it were extremely hot. The overall temperature with the heat index was probably close to 108, 110 degrees, just unbelievably hot. And in the final day or two before the higher winds started arriving. But I think the preparations were excellent. The leadership from Governor Scott was excellent. The information was put out there, and it seems to me like people took it seriously. I know that I went to a few lengths myself to prepare my home for it, and the slow moving aspect of the storm gave us a little bit more time to complete those preparations.
Well, Ed, certainly it's a delight to have you with us, and though we really don't know the ultimate cost in life and property, or even the financial cost it's going to be to restore what's taking place down there, it appears as though the catastrophic impact of Irma did not fully materialize, as was emphasized prior to it. As one who is in Florida right now, what really is South Florida, Central Florida alike? You know, you talk about major cities, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, Tampa. Take us, if you can, and help us to visualize what's really taking place down there right now.
Well, for this particular area of Miami-Dade County, there was a lot of damage as far as trees down and fences knocked over. I haven't seen any roofs torn off. A lot of that has been improved since Hurricane Andrew hit here 25 years ago. Houses are better constructed and roofs are attached better than they used to be. But we had a lot of trees down and huge power outages. And now just, I'm kind of losing track of time. I don't know, 3-4 days past the worst of the storm. Maybe we're about 4 days past the storm now. I'm losing track because we're working 12-hour shifts day and night, nonstop since the storm hit. But a very good cleanup job out here. I think I heard the number yesterday that we went from over 4 million out of without electricity in the state of Florida to about 1.5 million as of last night. The people from FPNL, Florida Power and Light, just do an outstanding job of pre-deploying their assets and their crews. And they get out there and get after it 16 hours a day and just keep on going and try to get people's electricity turned back on. And that's the main thing after the storm is getting your electricity back, being able to have some air conditioning and being able to cook and just the simple things that folks might take for granted if they don't have to live through hurricanes.
Ed, you're there obviously working on behalf of civil government. There are a lot of different organizations that are there. So you probably give a good perspective of how things are happening. Are you seeing a successful orchestration between federal government, state government, local government, church groups? How are these meshing and working together as you're seeing things unfold there in Florida?
Well, I'm seeing and hearing reports, and I'm pretty much like everyone else, that I've got to go by what I see and hear on the news because I'm not able to get out and assess it myself. But from what I'm hearing and seeing in news reports, there's been tremendous response by faith-based groups, and it's encouraging that people might be reminded again not to not to depend on big government to come to their rescue, because they don't do it very well at all. But faith-based groups and organizations, churches, are the ones that get the supplies, the water, the various things that are needed after a natural disaster like this. And they do it very efficiently because they know where they're at. They know their area. They know where the people are at that need the help the most. So hearing some very encouraging reports about the help that is available, that may come from FEMA, but sourcing it through faith-based groups is just a way of getting that help where it's needed.
Ed, let me ask you this in about the minute we have left. From an overall perspective, was the impact of Irma, as far as you can tell, was it a better or worse than what the news was reporting as far as, they were predicting catastrophe? It sounds like what you're saying was not as bad as they predicted, at least in your area. So can you kind of give a little bit of a perspective there?
Yeah, it wasn't nearly as bad as was predicted. And outside of my house, all we had was some fence damage and a lot of trees down. But overall, we thank God we did not get the full brunt of the storm here the way the west side of the state did. And it's not nearly as bad.
Well, with that, Ed, thank you so much. I hate to cut you off, my friend, but we've got to go into the break. Friends, though it could have been incredibly more catastrophic, God was glorified and is being glorified through this storm. And when we come back, we're going to go directly to our nation's capital for one of the most stirring examples of what God is doing and how he's being glorified, not just through tragedy, but crime.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Since 1999, I've been involved in some way in ministry in Washington, D.C. That ministry has included a variety of outreaches ranging from large crusades on the National Mall to similar events in the Pentagon, Bible distributions to members of Congress, and then massive literature distributions at significant events such as presidential inaugurations. But friends, two nights ago, something took place that is both historic and unprecedented. For the first time in our nation's history, a thoroughly Christian film was shown in one of the congressional office buildings to members of Congress, members of their staff, ministry leaders, both from the D.C. area as well as across the nation. And never has something exactly like this happened. Well, with us to help unpack and explain precisely what happened is Nathan Kistler. He is a singer, songwriter. He's director of Hope to the Hill. But most importantly, he's my son. And so, Nate, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap today. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, good afternoon. It's nice to be on today. And I'm actually sitting in my office as opposed to the last time I was on. I was walking down the street within all of the hustle and bustle of Washington, D.C. So it's a quiet day today, thank goodness.
Well, I know the last couple of days, buddy, have been anything but quiet. You have been running yourself ragged, and you and I have conversed over the phone late at night, 1 and 2 in the morning, because of all this work you were doing for this screening of this film. We prayed about the private screening that took place two nights ago. We've discussed it a little bit on the program, but tell us, if you would, please, for those that are joining us for the first time, tell us the name of the movie, when it will open nationwide, and then tell us a little bit about what happened in D.C. two nights ago.
Sure. The name of the film is A Question of Faith. It will open nationwide on September 29th, just a few days away. And I was asked to go to a screening of the film, the very first screening, actually, for the actors of the film by a former girlfriend, still a wonderful friend of mine, Amber Nealon. And I went, loved the movie. We wanted to bring it here. And so two nights ago, we did a screening in the Rayburn Building, which was hosted by the First District of Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert and his office. They did such a wonderful job hosting and bent over backwards, really, to help us put this screening together. And we had members of Congress. We had faith leaders from Washington, D.C. About a little over half of the cast came into D.C. for this event, and it was just powerful. There wasn't a dry eye in the house. Everybody was crying. The film just has that effect, and so it was really a powerful evening for sure.
Nathan, getting anybody together, getting congressmen together, I know, is a tough order. Anyways, so getting them there for that length, question to you is that, did they stay the entire time? And what kind of discussion did you hear among members in response to this? I mean, were they taking it personally? Did they kind of open up and share things with each other?
Well, yeah, I'll share with you. You know how D.C. is. Things can change on a moment's notice. And I had a few scares over the days before the screening, actually the day before Monday, because of the hurricane, which was no one's fault, obviously. A lot of members had a hard time getting back into D.C., so I got an email from about 10 or 12 schedulers about the same time that had members that were planning on coming. They said votes have been moved from tonight to tomorrow night at 6:30. So the members will have to come before the event actually starts and meet and greet folks. They'll have to go vote, and then they will try to come back over to the event. So we had members, you know, I always put it, they're grazing. They graze in and they graze out throughout the evening. So we had members that grazed in before. They left to go vote when the bell rang, and they grazed back in throughout the evening. So there were a couple of members that were there for the majority of the evening. Robert Adderholt from Alabama came and opened the evening in prayer. Louis Gohmert and his staff were, obviously, since they were hosting the evening, they were in and out throughout the night, and as well as a few other members. And the amazing thing was we had members from both sides of the aisle. I was actually shocked because I had made about 100 personal visits to members' offices. And then I sent out an email to all 535 offices in Congress, an invite to each office, to their schedulers. That took me about a month and a half to put all that information, to get all the schedulers' emails and get them right and get that email out. And so it was really, I was amazed as I started getting responses from members. I actually had more Democrats that had agreed to come, but more than Republicans. So that's the amazing thing about this film, I think, is that it crosses the party lines, and it's about faith, it's about family, about trusting in the Lord, but also about reconciliation. And that is something that we need in this country right now more than ever. And a year ago when they made this film, no one had any clue where we were going to be as a nation, what would be going on, but God knew. And that's the amazing thing, I think, about all of this, is that God prepared this film for this time in our country. And so, yes, I heard a lot of Congressman Gohmert said some of the most wonderful things about the film, and I seem to recall one specific thing he said, that he was so thankful that these folks were making a faith-based film while it's still legal in America to wear your faith out on your sleeves in the public sphere. So Congressman Gohmert, I really appreciated what he said.
Nate, are you telling our audience this afternoon that people who are in Congress are just like working with cattle? You said they were grazing in and grazing out.
Now I got to be careful there. I'm not gonna go into that. But no, I like that term. I like that term. And you know what? We have some of the finest folks in the 115th Congress, and I'm privileged to be able to minister to them on a daily basis. And folks, don't be discouraged. Again, I tell folks every day: you turn off the TV, and you just pay attention to what's going on. The news is not going to give you always, it can be great, but it's not always going to give you especially a spiritual perspective as to what's going on. There are godly members of Congress who they love the Lord and they want to do the right thing. So encourage them, call them, let them know you're praying for them. It's vital that we do that today.
That really wasn't my question. I just thought that it fit. But my real question is that after the screening, there was a special tour the Capitol, and I'm wondering if you could share with our folks what happened during that tour.
Yes, and I'll give you another little backstory on that. I know we just have a moment before the break, but Congressman Gohmert originally, there's a lot going on, a lot vying for members' attention. This is the second week back from their August recess, so there's a lot of events going on. In fact, there were two events going on either side of us while we had this screening. There were a lot of people walking around. We actually had people from a LGBT event next door that were confused and came into our event and started talking to our folks. And it was such a blessing to get to spend some time with some of those folks, which seemed to be an accident originally, but God again knew. But Congressman Gohmert, about a week before, told us that he had some stuff that came up. He was not going to be able to do a tour that night. And I was kind of having a moment of unbelief, and I was freaking out a little bit, and so I started calling other members, and everybody said, it's too late. It's going to be 9:30 at night to start a tour. So I didn't have anyone lined up until about 30 minutes before the film ended. Congressman Gohmert's assistant ran up to me, and she said, the congressman walked out of his office, told me some things cleared up, and he wants to do the tour tonight. And so I kind of went into it. I didn't know what we were going to do, but the Lord worked it out, and it was what a privilege. Congressman Gohmert walked us through from 9:30 at night until 1:30 in the morning through the Capitol, and we went onto the Senate floor, the House floor, after they were out, obviously, for the evening, and just spent some time talking, and also spent some time in the rotunda where he had the Neylands, the very first gospel group I ever sang with. He had them sing a beautiful, beautiful rendition of 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, and it was just so special to be in there as they were singing, listening to the wonderful reverberations off of the walls and the ceiling in that room. So it was just a privilege all night. And Obviously, Congressman Gohmert is a wealth of information on American history, and so people, the folks from the film, loved that, and it was just a privilege once again.
Well, friends, we're talking with Nathan Kistler, director of Hope to the Hill, also my son, and we're talking about the screening that took place several nights ago in Washington, D.C. The film is called A Question of Faith, and it opens nationwide on September 29. Friends, I cannot encourage you strongly enough. When this film comes to your area, you've got to go see it. There is a powerful message of salvation in the film. There is an incredible message of forgiveness. And then, friends, at this critical juncture in U.S. history, there is a phenomenal, phenomenal message of racial reconciliation. And we're trying to be very guarded here and not give away the storyline because we want you to go see it. But again, that film was shown to members of Congress, their staff, ministry leaders in the D.C. area, as well as some ministry leaders literally from across the United States of America this past Tuesday evening. And Nate, I know you worked literally for months setting this up. And you worked just nonstop, day and night for the last 3 weeks trying to get all this pulled together. Buddy, I commend you for the job you've done, and I'm so thankful for what God is doing through Hope to the Hill. And friends, when we come back from the break upcoming, we're going to be talking about all that God is accomplishing as far as his phenomenal work in Washington, D.C. This is just the tip of the iceberg as far as what God's doing. Join us after the break for more.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back, friends, to Stand in the Gap Today. If you listen to this program regularly and appreciate the perspective you get, you will find nowhere else. We'd love for you to download our new app or participate in a new way that we've created for you to stay abreast of all that's going on here at the program, as well as get very helpful updated information on programming, guests to the program, and other vitally important information. So, Gary, if you would, tell our listeners how they can do that.
I would be happy to, Dave. It's called Join by Text. And, you know, this is one of the ways that you can keep up with what's going on here at the American Pastors Network. And it's through using your text. And all you need to do, and we've been emphasizing this, but repetition and review is the best teacher. We want as many people on this as possible. Just to text the word STAND to 44144. Now, that's STAND, S-T-A-N-D, just like Stand in the Gap. STAND, S-T-A-N-D, to 44144. Now, when you do that, you'll receive a text reply asking for your email address. And once you reply with your email, then you'll receive another immediate text reply with links to download our APN app from the Apple Store or from the Google Play. And once you download and open the app, there's a sign-up option at the top where you can sign up to receive our weekly email updates. It's rather simple to do, quite simple to do. And where you start is just by texting STAND, that's S-T-A-N-D, to 44144, and just continue to follow the chain. And you'll be able to be tied into what we're doing here at APN.
Gary, thank you so very, very much. Nate, let me come back to you. I appreciated what you said in the last segment about the way the media, for the most part, does not cover anything remotely close to what is taking place in Washington, D.C. from a ministry perspective, from a spiritual perspective. Of course, they're not going to do that. They don't have a vested interest in that. But I speak weekly with individuals who also have absolutely no idea what is happening on Capitol Hill with respect to these spiritual elements and the uniqueness of the time in which we're living. And yet God is very clearly being exalted in Washington, D.C. at this very moment. And of course, that is our general theme today. God will be glorified in the tragedies and the triumphs. And we talked in segment one about the tragedies that have taken place there in the state of Florida. Didn't talk a lot about Texas, but of course, the recovery efforts are still going on there. But there are ways in which God is being greatly glorified in the triumphs that are taking place on Capitol Hill. So, Nathan, what I would love for you to do is share a little bit of a typical week for you and others of our allied ministry partners on Capitol Hill. Just let our listening audience know so they can be encouraged exactly what's taking place.
So a normal week for me is I try to reach out to new members of Congress. I mean, obviously, when you have 535 offices between the House and the Senate, there's a lot of ground to cover. And so every year, as the Lord brings members into my path, I try to choose four or five members that I want to invest a large amount of time in. And sometimes it's not four or five members, it's four or five people in this city that I invest a large amount of time with. And so this year, there's three or four of those folks are congressmen, and two are work in other areas of government. And so, but on a normal day, I try to go over to different members' offices and stop in and ask them how we can pray for them, try to schedule meetings with members to have some time of prayer. Every week is different, but some weeks I will have lunch with a member or two of Congress, and we really try to encourage them and build relationships. And I say this a lot, and I tell this to pretty much everyone I come into contact with, what we do. With what we do, the greatest gift that I can give to a member of Congress is anonymity. So never sharing what they say or any kind of anything that really happens when we're together. The greatest gift they can give to me is their trust in return. And so I take that very seriously, as we should. I don't ever want to add to their plate or put a bullseye on their back with anything that they say or anything that happens when we're together. They have enough on their plate to deal with. And so I love doing that, spending that time with them. It's such a privilege. And we have different events, just like the event two nights ago throughout the year with our allied ministry partners, Faith and Action, in the nation's capital. We have the live nativity that we do in December. We have the National Bible Reading Marathon in May, the National Preborn Memorial. And those are specific events that we do throughout the year that bring recognition to specific pieces of religious freedom that we have. And we liken it to a muscle. If you don't use a muscle, it dies. It kind of goes away, and or it doesn't grow. And so when it comes to our religious freedom, we believe that we need to flex those muscles at times, and they can only grow from there. And so we try to do that as much as possible, as well as the day-to-day ministry to members of Congress and in many other ways. So God has been so gracious to us, even just this year, and I've told you this before, Dad, I have seen more meaningful ministry, and then that's meaningful from an earthly perspective, but more meaningful ministry in the past 8 or 9 months than I have ever seen in all the years combined that I've been around this town. So God is up to something miraculous right now. And I wanted to say this, the Congressman Gohmert, said something very interesting the other night to me, and he said it to everyone, so I don't mind saying this publicly. He said, Congress is a mirror of the people of the United States. He said, I don't believe that revival will come from Congress directly. If revival happens to America, to the people, Congress will reflect that. And that was powerful with what he said to me. So I believe that God is doing something. This is just a reflection of what is happening in America as a whole right now. Hmm. So don't believe what you see on TV and all of these things, because God is doing something in America, and Congress is feeling that here in the nation's capital.
Well, Nate, that's a great way to lay that out there for our listeners. We talk a lot on this program that in these times of challenge that we're facing around this nation, we're either going to run to God for our answers or we're going to run to government. And as you said very clearly, as Congressman Gohmert said, because he understands, it's going to come from the people, from what God is doing, and then government will respond. I think that's a great point. If you were to look down there right now, and obviously you've not been there for years, but if you could kind of describe a little bit about the makeup in rough numbers, how many of those that you're working with in Congress, percentage-wise, and I'll put it broadly, do you believe have a fear of God as compared to those who really have no fear of God. I'm not saying those who are necessarily born again. If you want to be more specific, go ahead and put that in there. But I think it'd be helpful for listeners to get a sense of the makeup, mindset-wise, of those who are now in Washington.
Sure. Well, I hear a lot from a few members of Congress that have been here for 12 to 15 years that have told me they believe there are more Christians in the 115th Congress than there have ever been since Calvin Coolidge. So, you know, when you take that into perspective, that's almost 100 years we're talking about here, or a little over. And so from what I can see now, I believe that in a percentage-wise, there's probably 35 to 40% of the Congress right now that would say that they are Christians, that are God-fearing men and women, and there could be more. But I would say that there is a very large, it's not a minority, I don't think anymore, of members of Congress who love God, who really want to serve the Lord. And this is the thing that I try to explain to people. People get frustrated with Congress a lot. And I understand the sentiment at times, but you have to understand in the Senate, when there's a bill going on, the majority of the Senate may, or at least on the Republican side at times, where I may more closely align myself, they may be voting on something that is good. It only takes one or two senators to throw that off. And so to say that everyone, that, you know, that all of Congress is a loss and that, you know, they're not doing their job is just not correct. It only takes a few at times to change things. And so we need to be praying for those few and all of Congress, that God would touch their hearts. And that was something that was really special. We did a few nights ago and on the House floor, we had a time of prayer for every member who sits on the House floor. And so that is so encouraging that we have the opportunity in the United States of America to pray for our elected officials to be close to them. There's no other country in the world where they have the opportunity to be close to those who represent them. It's truly a privilege to be able to do that. So I beg of our listeners that they would continue to pray for their elected officials. They need it desperately. And not just the ones that they agree with, the ones they disagree with the most. They need to pray for them.
God certainly is up to something in D.C., is he not, Nate?
Amen. He is. Amen. I'm so excited. And again, it's a privilege, guys. And I hope folks will come and join us and see what's going on with their own two eyes.
Well, friends, you've been listening to Nathan Kistler. He is the director of Hope to the Hill. It is a ministry that is a ministry arm of our ministry called Hope Ministries International. And for many, many years, Nathan has walked the halls of Congress with me. And as a young man, as a little boy even, he didn't realize God was going to lead him into what he's now doing. But he is now doing it and doing it successfully in the power of God. And so, Nate, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. And friends, when we come back, we're going to tie all this together. God is being glorified in tragedy and triumph. Don't you miss what's coming up next.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. I trust you have been encouraged today, and I trust you have understood that even in the midst of tragedy, God is glorified, and certainly in the midst of triumph, God is glorified. Last evening, I spent about an hour and a half with a number of people that are in the church where I'm ministering in the state of Oregon this week. And we sat around a table at a restaurant, and they asked questions, and we talked about the very thing we're talking about today on the program. And that is how the media is not giving an accurate picture of what is taking place in the United States of America, certainly from a spiritual perspective. And I laid out a number of the things before them that Nathan shared on the program today in the last segment about what is taking place in our nation's capital to help them understand you cannot trust the mainstream media, as we sometimes call them. You cannot trust them to bring you the truth. Certainly with respect to what God is doing spiritually in Washington, D.C., or even around the nation for that matter. Sam, I want to go to you, and then Gary, I want to get your take on this in the moments we have left. We call this our solution segment. I found it to be very, very compelling. Sam, I could tell in your voice as you asked Nathan a question and responded to his comment that came from Congressman Louie Gohmert that Congress is merely a mirror. It reflects what's going on in the nation. And if right now in Washington, D.C., we are seeing what I'm just going to go ahead and call somewhat of a spiritual awakening, we're seeing God doing things on Capitol Hill. There is an openness to all things spiritual like there has not been. And I would concur with Nathan, my involvement for 18 years, I've never seen it like this. Seeing that, Sam, is something that we need to capitalize on. What I'd like for you to do is talk to our listening audience and tell them how they can sort of fuel this fire of what is taking place not only in America, but certainly on Capitol Hill.
Dave, I think there are a couple of things that can be done. Number one, just being aware that there is hope is a first start. Two, being aware that what we're hearing on the media is by and large the pre-selected presentation of bad news, not good news. So we're going to have to look beyond what we're presented with in the media. And that's part of what we try to do in this program, of course, is present the real news of the day and always put in that element of hope. Because as long as truth remains and the church is still here in America, you know, and we're not raptured out of here, there is hope. God will answer those prayers. Now, that's the first thing. Understand, God is still in control. He is still working in the lives of people, and he is not yet done with this nation and us who are here. But then beyond that, we need to be praying more urgently than we are. We have to do that. We're told to pray for those in authority. We've got to pray for them. And to pray, Dave, is not just to pray blindly, but to pray with knowledge. The knowledge that there are many in office who are wanting to do what's right, that we should be praying for those people, even though we don't know them. And then fourthly, I would say, to the extent that we are all available and able to do it, we should go out of our way to reach out to and meet and contact those who are in positions of civil authority. We encourage our pastors to do that and to have those in office into the churches so that they can see what's happening and they can visit the people and all that. That's important. Reach out and touch those who are in office because really, truly, as Nate said, they are by and large a reflector of what they are hearing. So if God's people never communicate and only the evil communicate, unfortunately, many, many will tend to reflect what they hear. So we need to step up in that regard.
Gary, last evening in the church service here, I gave an appeal to the congregation to be a fueler of the fire rather than an extinguisher of the fire. And a lot of times, Gary, pastors can be either extinguishers of a flame or they can be fuelers of a flame. What I would love for you to do is speak to ministry leaders, speak to those that are believers in Jesus Christ that are part of our listening audience, and challenge them specifically with how they can be facilitators or fuelers of what we are praying will take place in this nation, and that is revival, because there is no revival in the history of the world that has ever occurred but what God used people to facilitate it and fuel it. He is the center of the revival, but he always uses people. So talk about how we can be fuelers or facilitators of revival.
Well, I think, David, that for those of us who are spiritual leaders, we need to know the truth. Sam talked about the truth and standing for the truth. We need to know the truth. We need to live the truth as an example. And then we need to proclaim the truth from our pulpits and, of course, in the context that we have. And I think that it's the truth that's going to change people. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so in every way, every possible way, those of us who are in spiritual leadership should know, live, and exemplify and promote the truth. You know, I was just thinking as you were talking there a moment ago, a week ago today, I had an individual who has been involved with government and who wants to get involved with government again, run for a high office, as a matter of fact. We sat down at Panera Bread and talked a little bit. And, you know, when I started to share with him what God has done in this nation and what I believe God wants to do in this nation and how God wants to work through a combination of the church and government working together, Dave, he broke down in tears. And he said, I'd never heard that before. And, you know, we went on from that particular point. And so I think this concept of building relationships with people, whether it's people in government or people in the church, based upon truth, is one of the things that God will use to bring revival back into this nation. We need to be committed to that, not following the scuttlebutt that's out there. I get sick and tired of that, and I'm sure you do too. But following the truth of God and then promoting that truth in every possible relationship that we have, God will take that truth and use it for his glory in the home, the church, and the government.
Sam, if you would do this, take us to the throne of grace and pray for us specifically, if you would, that what God is doing across this country, even in the midst of what we sometimes call tragic situations, these hurricanes, these floods, but also through the triumphing times, pray that God will be glorified and that for which we have prayed so often, and that is a revival in this country, a spiritual awakening. Pray that God will facilitate that and that God will use us as fuelers of that.
Absolutely, Dave. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to come to you right now and lead in prayer of Christians all across this country as listening to this program. We lift up our hearts to you, Lord, knowing that you are in control, that you have established this nation, you have established and raised into positions of authority and office all those who are there, our president, all those through federal positions, state positions. And Lord, you have also raised up those who are serving the Lord in the pulpits, the fathers and the mothers in the home as we're listening right now. They're there because of your doing. May we recognize that you are in control, that you will answer the prayer of your people. And Lord, as we face challenges in this nation, we ask that we would go to our knees in repentance and humility, looking to you, who we know will answer the prayer of a humbled remnant people. We commit ourselves to you, Lord, looking for your glory to be done in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, friends, thank you for joining us today. God will be glorified in tragedy and triumph. Let him be glorified through your life this day. Join us 23 hours from now for our next installment of Stand in the Gap Today. Till then, have a blessed afternoon.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.